thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for drawing our hearts to your presence. We thank you for these prophetic times of worship. We thank you for the impartation of your spirit. We thank you truly that you fill the heart of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Fill us, God. Continue to fill us. Glorify your Son, Jesus.
Amen.
And magnify your name.
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We can be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have two Bibles here. Because there's a lot to share this morning, but we can only do as the Lord is leading. Amen. So please pay attention closely. Even though I have those two Bibles here, I might never get to them. But you know that whatever I want to share with you is something that has already been shared with me from scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
I had the privilege of being invited somewhere, and I was invited. I was not just a guest. I was invited with the liberty to oversee a program. Amen?
Amen.
And the program was given to me. There was no rehearsal. It was a very solemn program. And I looked at the program, and there are guests seated all over the place. And it's a solemn moment. And this moment has a time limit to it. And it's a moment that will be a memorial in the minds of the people there, because they will remember that day. Some parts of the program I understand, but the details of the program I was seeing for the first time. And I turned over to the Holy Spirit to help me, to show me what to do. And the Holy Spirit run the program as if it has been rehearsed for a long time. As if it was greatly planned, every aspect of this program. Fulfill the heart of the Lord and satisfy the desires of the people. And it was done in time. Why am I saying this? I'll be sharing a few things with you, but this is the first one. The Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, if you, being human, was invited to such a solemn moment, that is a memorial that everybody has come from different places, there's a weight of expectation. And this is something you might only do once in your lifetime. If you're a human being, you understand the weight, the significance of this moment. And the person that invited you gave you total liberty without any rehearsal to oversee this program. And see what happened. The Holy Spirit said to me, I wish my people would trust me with their programs. He said, if you, a human being, cared enough and you know the seriousness of this thing fulfilling its reason, he says, I don't just know the little that you knew. I know the details of people's lives. I know their beginning and I know their ending. I know what happened to them this morning. I know how they slept and I know how they rose. If you can trust me to be over your programs, I will deliver. Because and the Lord said to me, he was showing me, he says, the reason I need to be invited and the reason I need to be empowered. Empowered means given liberty, is because I'm not a covenant breaker. Because I made covenant with mine of giving you over the affairs of the world. For me to do anything in the earth, I have to walk through mine. Because that's the area of rulership. So the Lord says, from beginning, from Adam, he says, I've given you dominion, I've given you the realm of this human flesh. That's why one angel can reduce literally cities and nations to rubbles. One angel can stop every president of every nation and force the will of God. But he says, I don't do that because I've delegated power to man. I can bypass man. I have to look for a man that has my heart, that is willing to give me permission when I give them authority. Or else, I am locked out of the buildings of the church. I am programmed out. I am limited in what I can do. I can only go as far as man allows. That's why in every generation I seek for a man after my heart who will allow me do a construction and do a killing and remove those things that is a man that locks me out after I give them power. And when I find such people who have totally given up that thing in man, that exhausts man, that thing in man that puts a wall for me not to move in my own church. When that is removed, then you know my power in the earth has no limit. No one gave me permission. Because it was a man who understood my plans. People like Abraham gave me permission. If you look at people like Joseph, people like Moses, these men gave up their lives. And they were able to allow me to do what I wanted to do. Because I have to walk through man. I could not even redeem man. Because I could find no one. I became flesh and blood to do what I needed to do. Because I have to do through man. So I have to save man. I have to become man. Because I've given man power over the earth. So the eyes of the Lord goes to and fro, seeking for those whose hearts are willing to submit to his will. Every one of us here, not one person reads this word or prays that does not want to do the will of God. Or that does not want to give God to the permission. But to put it in practice, there's something here that will not let God rule. So there's something God does in the heart of man. And when that thing is finished, God now has liberty to flow in and through man. Because for the rest of mankind to know that God is real, they have to see through man that God is real. We are the witnesses to man. Or else God could use angels. So when God walks this walk, it takes time and time and time to do this construction in man. And when God finds a generation that has allowed their hearts, their hands, everything in them for this work to have been perfected, God says that generation will receive the blessings from the Lord. Amen. I've told you all in the past, especially with the prophets, the little children, they are very sensitive. Amen? Amen. So, you can flow with what I'm saying, what God is showing me. I want to use some little examples more before we look into the spirit. Because if we don't understand in the natural, it's hard to embrace spiritual things. God had to speak to me about the program I just came from. For me too. I was there crying this morning. Can I trust you to trust me with your programs? The other thing is this. When God comes to our house, every one of us is gifted. Your gifts and your calling, you did not inherit it by mistake. And it was put in you for a reason. One is putting you first to minister to God with it. Everything God has given to us, he wants us to give it first to him.
Yes. Amen.
And then we will understand how he wants us to use it for people. Amen. And I told you I brought two Bibles here. But I'm talking to you from those two Bibles. What I just said to you is this. As we're sitting here, the Lord is doing something. The Lord might be speaking to you. But there are two kinds of people sometimes in the presence of God. There is a Mary and there is a Martha. Mary is one of the best cooks you can ever find. But she understands when to wait on the Lord. And she knows when to cook. Martha is the best cook, but she doesn't know when to wait on the Lord. Jesus says, those who have discovered their gift, and their gift, they know how to, when to wait on the Lord and when to serve, nobody should take it away from them, because they found the heart of God. So in this season, and I'm going somewhere with all this, let your gift not be an obstacle to what God wants to do in your lives. The greatest place God is showing me the enemy will go through in my life is the place of my gifting, because that's where pride can come. So where you are strong is where you need more humility. You all know the story of Mary and Martha. So we'll go to the next one. I was driving through Chattanooga one day. I believe the Lord is touching many things. That's why I don't know if it's preparing our hearts. And we're going somewhere. I was driving through Chattanooga one time, years ago. And right there between the mall, if you just, you're crossing Brainerd, coming towards this side, the north, up to the mall area pass, they were doing that big construction there. Now we see those overhead bridges around, this going to 153, this, you see those bridge call all over the place. When they were doing that construction, that place was a mess. It was, everything was everywhere. Everything was scattered. I mean, it was, and then they put little paths for people to drive through just to, for traffic to still continue. But that place did not make sense. It was, you all know how construction looks. And I was coming, and I saw the construction, and there was a hold up. Driving was very slow around construction. When God is doing a construction in your life, sometimes you want it to be over immediately. I looked at that construction, it was so slow, and I waited. As soon as we're in the middle of the place, the Lord started speaking to me. And at that time, I was going through some very serious situation. And I was saying, God, when are you going to do this? When? God, how long? How long are we going to wait? I was just crying. I did not know we've not even started waiting. And the Lord said to me, you see this construction? You see why they tore the whole place down? There's one person that knows where this road is going and knows what he's doing. It's the architect and the engineers that designed this road. They designed, the road was small, so many traffic jam. They came up with something that will cost 3 lanes here, 2 lanes here, will cost overhead, will just transform the traffic and cause convenience, free flow, and I-75 will be freed up. says, those, there's people who have drawn a plan, design what that area will look like. They know exactly the finished work, and they are very happy about it. And they are looking forward, and the time has been set for that finished work. And then they brought in contractors and constructions, and those people started bulldozing, changing, tearing. All those mess that I saw was working all things according to plan. And the Lord says, you asked me, you want to be like me. You asked me, you want to have meek heart. You want to be humble. You want to do my will. I have not started the construction work yet. I am doing the construction, and I'm just beginning to tear down things. You might look like a mess, but I know where I'm going. And I know the finish time. Some of us pray, God, use me. God, I want you. I want to serve you. And God says, okay. Amen. And the first thing, your brothers throw you into a pit. And you entertain pit ministry for a while. My brothers, you did this to me. And they say, you know what? Let's sell you as a slave. That's your next ministry. That's construction. You want to be meek? You want to have love? You want to remove unforgiveness from you? Go through the pit. Go through the slavery. And see how it feels. For that surgery to be done in your heart. Joseph thought, wow! I have arrived now. I feel better. God has given me favor. Now I am doing well in a strange land. I'm the director of Potiphar's house. Because, you know, your position is still making you proud. The more I dig, the more I shatter that place of your strength, the greater I will take you. But if you want to remain in Potiphar's house, it's okay. Joseph said, no, I want that dream to come to pass. You want it to come to pass? The next ministry, jail ministry. That's construction. Listen to me. No move of God comes cheap.
Yes, Jesus.
Somebody must die.
Yes. Jesus.
There's something in me, there's something in you that likes to take the glory of God, that likes to rule over man.
Yes. Jesus. Abba, Jesus.
There's something only God can take away from inside our hearts.
Yes,
he can never do it without our permission.
Jesus.
Because he has given us power. The level to which God works in this house is the level to which the leadership of this house gives permission. No doctor will do a surgery on you if you've not signed a paper. You can do it. When God was true with Joseph, there was nothing in Joseph that ever saw his ability to become a leader anymore. When God was true with Moses, he knew there was nothing in him that could go back to Egypt and confront the powers. The thing that will exalt self is gone. And those are the only people. When you come to the place where you say, God, I cannot do it. Yes. You're now saying, God, I give you permission. Oh. But it's hard to get there. Because we can do it.
Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus.
There are people sitting in our churches. Bah. Struggling. On drugs. Name it. If the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. And the Holy Spirit has to do it through people. A few years later, I drove past Chattanooga. The road was not the same again. It was an expressway. There was this part going here, this part. Everything looks beautiful. Cars were flying everywhere. The road was not expanded. And God says, that's the finished work. Now everybody's happy. It's a solution to the traffic problem. But nobody wanted to be patient. People were hollering, whoop, whoop. Nobody wanted to stay on that traffic jam for too long. So, now that I've said a few natural areas, let's talk about a spiritual aspect. Moses has been with God, came out of Egypt, had an encounter with God, came out of Egypt. God put him on the construction table for 40 years. When God finished the surgery and the work with Moses, he says, I can't even talk anymore. I can't do anything. And God says, now that gives me permission to do something. He started the work in Egypt, went back. God started doing something. They came out of Egypt, went to the first mountain experience. He brought what was supposed to be ministry impartation, 10 commandments. He destroyed it because he found out there's still something in me God needs to work. Still anger in me. I don't have the long suffering of God. God has been tolerating man for thousands of years. Moses just experienced 40 days, came down, seen his glory, looked at the sin of men for the first time and destroyed their hope of salvation. He says, I really need more of God. And God said, come back again. He went to the second mountain experience. It was in this experience Moses said, God, I want to know you. And God says, you want to know me? You want to see me? He said, yes. He said, I will just pass by. Because you can see me and leave, I'll just pass by. See the train of my glory. Because I'm long suffering, I'm full of mercy. I'm forgiving. Moses saw the glory of the Lord. And when Moses had that experience, Moses said, God, this is what I've been looking for. This is what we need. Thank you for the angels. The angels did not create us. We really needed to be in your presence. And God says, I can't go with you. It's not possible. Moses says, okay. If you don't go with us, I'm not going anywhere. That's a hungry man. He says, I'm not going anywhere. He wasn't joking. He was willing to leave ministry, leave all those 3 million people. He was willing to leave everything, that pride, everything that he thinks he has achieved. Say, God, I will stay here until, you know, I'm serious about this. When God found out Moses was serious, he said, okay, Moses, I'll go with you, but there's something you have to do. I can't just come there. You have to build me something. You have to build a tabernacle. You have to build, you have to prepare, you have to build something that will give me the capacity to be in the midst of a sinful generation. And you have to build it in 3 levels. And he gave Moses the blueprint. It's called the tabernacle. And you all know the blueprint. God had to prepare first the outer court and all the blood. Blood that has to cover blood. If you know the thousands of goats and sheep, the things they do there, the blood. Before you can even touch the holy place. The blood. And before you can go to even see. And in that, only one man, God says, see me. And get the word back to the people. But I will dwell as in your midst. That's the only way, Moses. If you can build it, I will come. And Moses, if you think it was easy to build, it's not easy to follow God's details. It doesn't make sense. How can God dwell in a tent? Who is going to build a tent? The God that smoked the mountains, the God that created the world. Moses, you're crazy. How can God come there? But I found out that everywhere that God comes always has a humble beginning. There are tents and mangers. The words I'm speaking to you, if you receive it in your spirit, it burns. Moses prepared it. And the Bible says, Moses finished. The right people for everything, skilled, everything was done with utmost excellence. Today we serve God as if we're serving human beings. We do things for God that we don't even do for managers in our workplace. We need to be told how to do things excellent before we even think about it. The Bible says everything was done with skill because they were consecrating it for the use of God. When Moses finished everything, there was one particular thing that was the most important thing. That is the only thing that causes God to dwell in the midst of the people. It's God on Moses' seat. And the mercy seat can never have a place without the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat can only be put, that Ark of the Covenant is nothing but blood. Covenant means blood. Sacrifice. The mercy seat can never be the mercy seat until blood is sprinkled upon it. The blood, the Aaron goes in and sprinkles blood 7 times. Consecrate it. And incense. Jesus told Mary, don't touch me. I am not reported to heaven. The sacrifice has been done. As soon as it was built, the Bible says on the first month, the Hebraic month, and the first day of that month, my brothers and sisters, God can't wait to bless us. If you see everywhere that the requirements of heaven are met, God always comes early. It's almost like he can't wait. But he has to. Something has to be in place. As soon as it was built, the first day of the first month is there. The glory of the Lord just came. As soon as they set up the tabernacle. And the glory covered the tabernacle. And Moses could not even go in. That's the tabernacle. Why am I saying this? Let me use another natural illustration. Because I understand things better in the natural. There was a brother. He told this story. For some reason that thing stuck with me because it made sense to me. God somehow gave him a taste of what it means to have a visitation. And for a very brief moment, he enjoyed the cloud of the glory of God. And the thing disappeared. His name is Stormy Tenney. I remember when everybody was running around just to be around where just a little glimpse. There's a story he told that fits into everything I'm trying to get you to understand today. And there's somewhere we're going with this. He said there was a man, a pastor. This pastor was overweight. Very, very big guy. And the pastor loves his congregation. And one of his passions is to visit them. To go visit them at their homes. So he said, the pastor will visit some homes. He will visit and he will stand. And the people will greet him, you know, welcome him. That was in those days. They would talk, they would chat. The pastor would stay long. He would leave. So after a while, people kept wondering, why is this pastor? Doesn't stay long. He comes, he doesn't stay long. He just greets, you know, chats with us and leaves. Nobody could figure it out. So finally, somebody asked him, the pastor, why is it that you don't stay long, you don't say hi, greet us, you love us, and then you leave. The pastor said, you know what? I went to visit one of the members. And when I went, they had a chair in their house. When I sat on it, the chair broke and I fell. It was so embarrassing to them. It was embarrassing to me. So the purpose of my coming to the house was not fulfilled. They were embarrassed. I was embarrassed. And the pastor told them this thing. If you build a chair for me in your house, I will come and stay. That guy built a nice big chair, solid, prepared it just for the pastor. That's the house he goes. He doesn't leave. Because a place was built for him. And he said, God just spoke to him. He said, the reason God just touches people and leave, they've not prepared a place, is comfortable. Because if he comes and the pleat is not strong enough, it damages. And God doesn't want to. So if you put the wrong wine in an host, it bursts. It can only fit where it's prepared for him. He said the moment God spoke it, because God was using him greatly there, he says God spoke to him personally and says, son, if you build, and so he started seeking after God, what would bring the presence of God. And he tasted it. His name is called Tommy Tenney. The story is all through the Bible. God is no respecter of persons. If you want him to come and stay, you have to build something for him. The good news is, it's not houses. It's not buildings anymore. It's not tents. It's not. It's here. Mercy is the greatest definition Jesus gave in the parable of the Good Samaritan. He gave us love. Which of these three showed mercy to that person? He said the Samaritan. It was not the church they were going, it was not the building, it was not the song. He said it was the one that didn't even, it was the one that came from Samaria. But the heart was built with mercy. My brothers and sisters, God does not look on outward appearance. God doesn't care how you look, green, yellow, brown. He doesn't care how your hair or your nose. All he's looking for is a manger. Dwelling place. A place where my child, I can birth what the poor, the broken, the prisoners are crying for. It doesn't matter. Just build, just give me the right place to give birth. So my brothers and sisters, now let's deliver. Why am I telling you this? I told you about Mary, Martha. I told you so many stories. Do you know that the children of Israel had prophecies from Genesis to their time to Malachi? They wrote it down. They preached it every day in their synagogues. They read it. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Listen, my friends. Jesus came. God has to walk through men. God became flesh. Came to the people that received prophecy. Came to the people that were praying for it. Came to the people that were waiting for it. Do you know it was a few people that recognized it? Amen.
Amen.
I pray you be among those.
Amen.
Amen.
a few months ago. I told you all briefly that the Lord is beginning to tell us that the prophecy that things will take long to come to pass will expire.
Amen.
That when God starts revealing things, they start happening.
Amen.
We started the 40 days of prayer and fasting, and things are already happening.
Yes.
I will come back quickly and conclude with what we are about to begin tonight. That God Himself is orchestrating. But before I conclude with that, there were so many things I'm seeing and God is revealing. I remember I shared with you about the Lord was speaking one morning about the coronavirus will get worse somehow during winter stuff. The next 2 days or the next day, I saw it in front page. I'm not saying whether coronavirus will get worse. The point I'm trying to make is God revealed it the next 2 days. I saw it in front page. The CDC really repeated it, and ever since he's been saying it. Whether it will happen, I believe the repentance can overthrow that. But the point I'm making is this. It was spoken. I saw something written in the national news. I shared a few more things with you, some things God is revealing. And I felt God was beginning to prepare us to say, it's not taking this long anymore. And then recently, God brought clarity that what He shared last year's atonement, I should look back and see what happened 1 year ago from now. And I'm saying, I want you to look forward. You see what will happen a year from now. But not even a year from now, right here in this place, the Lord says, I'll visit you on Pentecost Sunday. He visited on Pentecost Sunday. I shared it here that I saw the president collapse. I was taken for refreshing. We dragged him to take him. Dreams have allegory. As we were praying in the 40 days, the first day, we talked about first day of Tabernacles, the president has coronavirus. I was affected in a serious way. If it's not prayers, and prayers, and the president came out and said, it's a miraculous recovery. You were told here, the president, I saw him setting way, and then he just came and collapsed, and then we tried to take him to the elevator to take him to the place he can be revived. But I'm here to tell you, this might not be even what I saw. But this is just to let you know, God is speaking in this house. It happened. If that's just only what happened, something is being revealed. You heard it. A year from now, we will never recognize the church. In a positive way, we'll recognize a glorious church.
Amen.
The nations are going to be shaken. And the voice of this church God is raising will take preeminence. That is far off. Right now, something has been happening since we've been praying. We've been praying for God to visit us. We've been praying for God to move. There are things, after many years, God's grace has. Like Mary, you hide it in your heart. God has been ministering to us. Now, God sent a prophet to this house. I can call him a prophet. And we are prophets in this house. But God sent a prophet. I can say that because before I qualify people in that capacity, I'm not saying prophetic giftings. I have to experience it. I have to test it. I have to prove it where I am today. And I'm proving this man and some of the voices in this house. Everything so far God has led this man to do had corresponding supernatural manifestations. right here in this house, never told any human being, even my wife. I talked to her about a lot of things. There are things you don't just say because it brings pride. This just saying it alone is pride. And there are two scriptures. All of you always hear me talk about 1991, but I've never told you a lot. I will keep keeping it. But you've heard it. Some of you can repeat it 20 times. The scripture God used to explain the experience of 1991 and what he was going to do when the time comes. This was 30 years. This is now 29 years, December. We're entering into the 30th year when God showed that thing. This man came here before the eyes of those who were here. Nobody knew what I mean. I felt like a worm. I felt I could roll on the ground and collapse. But I held myself. How could any man be this sensitive? That's why it's not worth repeating what happened here. But because it's not been repeated, it grieves me if this house is not ready to move forward, knowing God literally raised up a tent in answer to the destiny of this house and this city. We've heard it. So God has provided us like a donkey, or provided a tent. If you go out now, you see it. Sorry, those of you online, just a second.
The mayor is involved. All the overseers.
I mean, unprecedented move, arresting the heart of a city in a way that is not conventional, just obedience. I've never, since I came to the city, experienced it in this way. If you have to do something, you have to radio, television, Facebook, all this stuff. Say, no, do this, do this, do that. And the city started hearing. From tonight, they will block out this road, block out all this area because of an expectation. And it's about your destinies. How could a time like this come and this is not our priority? Basically, Mount Zion is partnering to invite the city to our church. Can they fit here? It makes sense for God to put us outside. Because we're outside doesn't mean it's not Mount Zion. You saw it happen here. Everything about the tent is being stored in Mount Zion. It's all over the place. If you go out there, you see, those things are going to, we're going to be setting them out. So, my brothers and sisters, the city is coming here. Who is doing it? That tells me he's up to something. So round up. I'm glad I brought these two Bibles. And somehow God opened it, but not me, because you had it. I want you to know God cares about your illness. God cares about your pain. God cares about your bondage. God cares about everything you're going through. He just wanted a generation that will give him permission to show you he loves you. He cares about you. And God gives people leadership. And leadership say, you only do what I want. So I believe by the grace of God. And I'm joining my heart with your heart. I believe God is giving us another chance to give him liberty. To surprise us. And for the first time since I've come to America, this is the first meeting ever. There is no program. There is no person on the program. There's nobody listed. That's the agreement. No speaker. No leader. And you're inviting the whole city. And the dignitaries of the city. And everyone is saying, who is coming? Who is speaking? We don't know. I believe we built a seat for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I started by saying I went to a program and they gave me liberty. And the little experience I had, I used it. God says, if you can do that, give me permission and let me run the program. I know what to do. I believe that's what we're praying for. That's faith. Amen?
Amen?
So let's see what happens. Amen?
Amen?
If half of the people come tonight, they don't come back, that's good news. Because God will test everybody's heart and see how much they love programs.
Amen.
We might sit there and nobody said anything. Who knows? I was talking to a pastor and he said, what's it? I said, we don't have the program yet. He said, oh. Amen?
Amen?
All our securities are coming to the altar.
Yes.
All our insecurities. Amen?
Amen?
So, God is inviting you now. He's the one inviting you now to come. Amen?
Amen.
It is his program. Father, it's your program. Can we say it's yours?
It's yours.
Can we say have your way?
Have your way.
Remove man.
Remove man.
For the first time, have your way.
For the first time, have your way.
And have it completely.
And have it
completely. If you want to be wise in the things of God, you have to be what? Foolish. Amen? So we're going to be foolish.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
The wise will come and laugh at us and won't come back. After 2-3 days, they won't come back. Then God has found the right people.
Amen.
And then you do something. So we'll see. Amen?
Amen!
Hallelujah! Spirit of the Lord and the heart of Jesus is to preach the gospel to the hungry. That's the poor in spirit. Is to heal the brokenhearted. Is to bind the wounds of people. Is to set the captive at liberty. Is to loose the prison. That is our heart cry. God, have your way.
Amen.
So my brothers and sisters, we are moving our services from these four walls to an open air.
Amen.
Beginning tonight.
Amen.
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 Those of you watching, we have enough space now. If you can come. Come with your chairs, your lawn chairs, because the chairs you see out there, we have only 81. It's just going to be set around the altar. Give honor to people, some elderly people or different, going to put, but come with your, like your launches this big field there. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
What did you say, sir?
It's
going
to be cold.
Okay, come with your thermal wares. And my prayer is there will be fire.
Amen.
Fresh fire.
Amen.
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 The children of Israel went through all the winters in the wilderness for 40 years, covered in fire and cloud. But until that happens, wear your thermal wear. Amen. Come with your thermal wear, come with your cheers. Let's do our part and trust God for His power. Amen.
Amen.
7 p.m. every night for now. My Zion family, you've been praying and believing God with you. May this be the moment.
Amen.
May this be the hour.
Amen.
May God not pass us by.
Amen.
So I join my heart with your heart. I step out of the way and I agree with you. May this be the time God will surprise all of us.
Amen.
And I believe we're in the season.
Yes, Lord.
God will never pass you by.
Amen.
He's coming to answer prayers.
Amen, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Another thing somebody's asking, if I can't make it, how can I be part of it? Because I'm not in Cleveland and I'm in Tennessee. It's going to be streamed on 10thmeeting2020.org. 10thmeeting2020.org. And also on this very Facebook you're watching, the rest of this week, Hope Channel, everything, every 7 p.m., the rest of our 40 days of fasting, we're going into the tabernacle. So we're going to be streaming it right from this channel. 7 p.m. every night. We don't have an ending time yet. So 7 p.m. every night. Amen?
Amen.
I pray all of us will be among those Gideon's 300 men, because we'll be tested where our heart is. Thank you, Father, for calling us to receive your season. Thank you for awakening us. Father, we thank you for touching our president. We thank you for divine recovery. Father, prepare us for the season.
Amen.
Prepare us for what you have in store. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard.
Yes, Lord.
That you are prepared for those who have waited.
Yes.
Father, you are faithful. It is very clear the purpose of your anointing is to set people free.
Yes, Lord.
Free to serve you.
Yes.
Free to love you.
Yes,
free to worship you.
Yes.
Free to seek you.
Yes.
Free to honor you.
Yes.
Free to fulfill their destinies.
Yes,
so that you will be glorified.
Amen.
Have your way, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.